Praise God. We cannot believe that the year 2022 is coming to an end. Okay, I think we have gone through the COVID for 2020, 2021, then we try to kickstart 2021 and 2022. I just want to tell you that there will be a big change in 2023 for this church. So I want to encourage all of you, you must come on the 1st of January. There will be a major change, okay? Because we are expecting God to bring us to a higher level, okay? I think everything will be back as per normal, and we are going to kickstart all the essential that we have been doing all this while, but we also want to present to you leaderships of this church, okay? We want to install all the leaders. So I just want to encourage you on 1st of January, you must come, okay? Because there's something that is very, very important for the future of our church. Okay, please praise God. Before we listen to the word of God, let's just give to God. Father, we thank you for this time that we can give unto you. God, teach every one of us to always be faithful in our tithing, faithful in our giving. Bless us bountifully as we give to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Christmas, the most important, okay, service for our year 2022, okay. So I'm going to encourage you, if there will be a service, I will be sharing the word of God still, okay. My preaching will not be very long, okay, but then we will kickstart our 37th Christmas celebration. Please take note that next Sunday, don't come in the morning. There will be no one here, okay. Pastor Lily and the whole team will be preparing for all the food. So please take note, okay, the time is 2 p.m. Okay, the team is, oh, what a special night, okay. Praise God. Please take note of that, okay. You have your Bible, let's turn to Joshua chapter 1. Okay, I'm not going to read everything. I'm going to just read to you Joshua chapter 1 verse 2. Then we're going to jump to chapter 1 verse 2, chapter 1 verse 6 and 9. Okay, I read to you again. Joshua chapter 1 verse 2. Then verse 6 and 9, okay? It reads here, Moses, my servant, is dead. That means there's a change. Okay, there's a change of leadership. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all these people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Be strong and of a good courage. For unto these people shall thou divide for inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the laws which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have I not commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. Father, anoint this message right now. Challenge our people. In Jesus' name, I pray. Can we title my message this morning? The man God uses. The man God uses. Okay, I want to define the title more accurately. The men God uses, okay, includes women, okay? The Bible is filled with examples of women that God uses, okay? Where Deborah, okay, Deborah and Barak, can you remember? Deborah comes up first, then Barak, okay? There was a lady leaders, then Barak was following after this lady, Deborah. Then we have Queen Esther. Queen Esther was responsible for the protection, okay, for the, preventing the whole tribes of Israel from being annihilated. Okay, then we have Rahab and Ruth, these two very powerful lady. Okay, these two were mightily used by God. And from them, from whose genealogy came the birth of Jesus Christ. So you must understand that truth. Okay, if you move to the New Testament, we have Mary, the mother of Jesus, another lady. We have the people that first saw Jesus resurrected and given instruction were three ladies. Then we have Dorcas, we have Sapphira, Ananias and Sapphira. Then we have the faith of Lois and the faith of Eunice. So all these are women. Okay? The commendation by Christ on great faith is not given to a man. Great faith was not given to a man, but addressed to a Phoenician woman. O woman, great is thy faith. So if you will really know God, if you will really know God, God uses women as well as men. Okay? So please take note, that is my purpose to spread across that the men God uses includes women. Okay? Then secondly, if you know God well, okay, we think of the man God uses as somebody that is high up there, the senior pastor, the prominent figure, okay, somebody that is a prophet, somebody that is a prominent evangelist. So we think of that, oh, they are those prominent people. There's somebody that's high up there. This morning, the man God uses is direct towards every child of God, every children of God, every ordinary human being. Not ordinary, when in the hand of God, they will do great exploit for your family, for your country, for your company, for your spheres of influence, wherever God has put you. Whatever station you're in, I want you to look at it and focus on yourself. Don't focus on anybody this morning. Whatever station of life you're in, whatever function you are tasked to perform, wherever God has positioned you, you can be the man that God uses. So please, look at yourself today. I want to share about you. Let us learn a few truths from this portion of scripture. Number one, the man God uses always receive a command. Okay, Joshua chapter 1 verse 2. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise. Go over this Jordan, thou and all these people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Pastor Lily and me, we will not live forever. Please remember, we will not live forever. There will be a new leadership one day that will be passed to this the people here to handle the church. Okay? Did the children of Israel die? No. In fact, it was not Moses that brought them into the promised land. It was Joshua that brought them to the promised land. Okay? So the portion of scripture was many a time directed to the second person. That is called the power of the second. David did not build the temple. It was Solomon that built the temple. That is the power of the second. So you must understand this. God always gives a command. The man God uses always receive a command. It says here, go over this Jordan, thou and all these people, unto the land. The land talks about the blessing. Okay, the land did not talk about the heaven. The land talk about your possession while you're here on earth. Unto this land which I do give them. And God authenticated this truth in verse 9 by saying, have I not commanded you? Have I not commanded you? This opened up before us the possibility of a life, and even for this church, on a higher plane. Deliverance from a life of defeat unto the life of victory. Even though it will be through warfare, even though it will be through conflict. Prior to this command, the life has always been a wilderness experience. If Josephus the historian is correct, Joshua lived for 40 years in bondage to Egypt. He had known the hard taskmaster, the hardship, the frustration, the cruelty, the intolerance of the taskmaster. He talked about the life here on this earth before we really know God. Egypt always represents sin. Joshua has witnessed the pain and the hardship of sin. For 40 years, he had patiently endured the wandering in the wilderness. He had seen failures. Maybe it's many of you who have seen failures, but he also witnessed the miracles of God. Suddenly, God spoke to him and begged him to assume the position of leadership. He had received the commandment of God. He had received the command of God. You know, Pastor Lily and I, we always felt that God is telling us something very, very important. That's why I want you all to come on January 1. Okay? Not because of the first fruit, but because of something very, very important. Okay? We felt that there is something that God has spoke to us very clearly. Today, the man God uses had this command. Go you into all the land and preach the gospel to every creature. So, as the Father has sent me, even so send I you. No child of God can say that they did not receive this command of God. When I was saved, immediately I received the command to preach the gospel. Not all of our life is not inward. When we are saved, we have this thing that we have to go and reach out and bring someone and win someone and preach the gospel and bring them into the kingdom of God. That was input into our heart in the very beginning of our salvation. I'm sure all of you, in your heart, there is a cry. How can I be the person whom God used? What sort of person does God entrust with leadership? Let's look at the example of Joshua. On the threshold was a new era of responsibility. God's word to Joshua was, have I not commanded you? And God is speaking to all each and every one of us. Have I not commanded you? Have I not told you? Have I not spoken to you? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid. Do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you, whithersoever you go. If God can go with us, who can come against us? If God be for us, who can be against us? If God is with us in our life, how can we face defeat? We will go from victory unto victory unto victory. The same goes with this church. If God is for this church, if God is for the leadership of this church, how can this church be defeated? Because God is for each and every one of us. Okay? Does that mean that all of us have to be strong if we are to lead in some work that God has positioned us in? If so, there is little hope for every one of us because we are always very discouraged. Like Paul said, who can be sufficient for all these things that is ahead of us? Yet not once. And many times God said to Joshua, and God said to you, be strong. God said to this church, be strong. Why? Because you are conscious of the inadequacy. You are conscious of the weaknesses. Joshua never thought that such an honor would be conferred upon him. He was perfectly content to play second fiddle. But to be Moses' servant, God found him faithful and called him. And the day the call came. Applying it to us, God is speaking to encourage you. I always believe that this church has a major part to play in Ilolo City. You must believe it. And you have seen many a time God protected this church. Whether it is earthquake, whether it is typhoon, God has protected this church all these years. All these years. Because God wants this church to be a shining light. God wants this church to be a holy church. God wants this church to be an example so that people will see the light and they will be drawn to the light. And when they come into the light, they will come to the salvation of Jesus Christ. Now, number two, the person that God uses is commanded. The man God uses is chosen. What is involved in being chosen? What are the characteristics of one being chosen? Last week, when I was doing my devotion Okay, we are, Pastor Lily and I, we are always thinking of the future of this church. When I was doing my devotion, it was very interesting. God spoke something very powerful about one being chosen. He says this, God has chosen and laid help upon one and exalted one, chosen out of the people. I say again, God has chosen and laid help upon one and exalted one, chosen out of the people. This is found in Psalms 89 verse 19, which reads, then thou speak in vision to the Holy One and say, I have laid help upon one that is mighty. I have exalted one, chosen out of the people. Very powerful. There are three things he appointed out for one that is chosen. The one is chosen, you are, okay, please don't look at other people, look at yourself. You are extracted from the people. You are elected by God from among the people. You are exalted above the people. And this person that is extracted, that is elected, that is exalted, has received the blessings of help. Psalms 89:19 is so clear. God has chosen and laid help upon one. The person has received the following help: the blessing of exaltation, the blessing of election, one chosen from among the people, one chosen from among the company, one chosen from among the city, one chosen from among the church, the blessing of anointing. I have anointed him. That means there is a special anointing that is upon that person. The blessing of security. One in whom my hand shall establish. The person shall be established. The blessing of God's own strength. My arm shall strengthen him. So powerful to be chosen. The blessing of protection. The enemy shall not outwit him, nor the sons of wickedness afflict him. The blessing of vindication. I will beat down his foes before his eyes and plague those that hate him. The blessing of the ongoing faithfulness and mercy of God. My faithfulness and my mercy shall be with him always. The blessing of ongoing faithfulness and mercy. You know, a man that is chosen, you look at you in your company. You look at yourself in the place that God has placed you. The man that God uses should not be afraid at all. Because when God commanded him, it comes with the empowerment and the equipping. You know, I remember that when I was born again in 1979, I knew I was called. I did not come to the Philippines until 7 years later. So I was involved in the ministry in the church, in my ex-church, for 7 years. And that was a kind of preparation. Okay? I could really say that, I don't know how to explain to you, but I could really say that God has laid help upon me. He has laid help upon me. I'm not trying to be proud to say it, but I felt that I was chosen. Okay? I felt that I received the blessing of help. I just felt that there was help from above. It was not a help from someone else, but the help was coming from above. I was just an ordinary Christian at that time, but I felt the hand of God in my life. Same thing with each and every one of you. Whatever department you are in, you felt the help of God in your life. That's why in the beginning of my sermon, I say, the address is to a man as well as to a woman, but they are ordinary people. God uses ordinary people and make them men of God. What happened in the 7 years? I just flow with the church. I became involved with the church. Then I joined the youth department because I was 17, 18 years old at that time. Definitely I joined the youth department. If you are young, you should be joining the youth department. And slowly, in 1 or 2 years, I became the president of the youth department. It was very handful. And the youth department grew and grew. Was I very intelligent? No. I wasn't intelligent. But I knew that God was there. And that youth department grew to be one of the biggest. under the Assemblies of God. Then Pastor Lily and me, we joined the Evangelism Explosion Program. I shared with you a number of times. There were only 8 people that was there. And 2 of us were among the leaders that were there. I think there were around 8 of us. And it grew until there are 200 people that went out every Sunday. Every Sunday. To go to the park. To go to the center. To go to the mall and share the gospel. During those times, you can share the gospel. And we just share the gospel because we are equipped with a program on how to share the gospel to new ones. And we were equipped there and we share. And there was excitement. You know, after the service, there was an excitement in our EE program. And people came and a lot of young people came. I felt the hand of God was there. When I enrolled in the army, I felt the hand of God was also there. I share this not to show off, but to tell you just that. I felt the anointing of God, the exaltation of God, the strength of God, the ongoing faithfulness and mercy of God in my life. Does this help stop the moment I step into the Philippines? No. Was the trials tough in the Philippines? Oh, that it will be an understatement. But God was there. But I like the part of the blessing of the ongoing faithfulness and the mercy of God in our life. You know, the past few days, I have the opportunity to share with fellowship with Pastor Susan. She was sharing with me that as a result of the COVID-19, many churches in Singapore closed down. They suffered badly because rentals are very expensive. She emphasized many. Then I was kind of pouring out to her some of complaints, some of the trials, some of the setbacks, some of the attacks that we had in the Philippines, to a point as if that God is not there in my life, not there in Pastor Lily's life. Then she said, whether she can be honest with me, Pastor Susan said, can I be honest with you? She said that looking from the outside as a third party, I could see that God has allowed this church to continue and to be established in the midst of the COVID-19. We did not sing, but we are still going forward, and 2023 will even be a greater and exciting year for us for 2023. We are going to a higher ground. Actually, she was gently rebuking me. Like many of us, we fail to see when we are in the midst of the problem, when we are in the midst of the difficulties. She said that God has been with you all the while. She was right. She was right, and she's still right today. Sometimes in the midst of trial, we couldn't see, but others could. I suddenly realized that from 1979 until 2022, that is 43 years as a Christian, God has been with me. God has been with me. He has exalted. He has anointed, He has strengthened, He has vindicated, He has protected, and I'm still experiencing the ongoing faithfulness and mercy of God in my life. This is what happened to a man God uses. I'm talking about each and every one of you. I responded by thanking her for reminding me of the goodness of God. We have gone through a lot, and yet I can still see the church standing. God forgive me that I fail to see the blessing of the ongoing faithfulness and mercy of God. I speak to you plainly. Some of you are holding some position in this church, holding some important position in your career. Are you like me, failing to see because it was very difficult right now? Failing to see the blessing of being chosen by God. You can only see the problem, the difficulties, the headache, the pains. Can't you see the blessing of God anointing you, whatever you are doing? Can't you see the blessing of exaltation in your position? Can't you see the vindication and protection of God upon your life? Can't you see? I want to tell you, this church is a special church. Not because it's special, but because God is here. Because God loved this church. Not because of Pastor Lily and I, know. I'll give you some example. You know, I look at Jackie Parale. Her whole family came to our church maybe 7 years ago. She got involved in the youth church. she was discouraged by some of the youth in the department. So don't say there's no problem. Then she has to take a board exam. She said 10% of the paper, that 10% of what she studied came out. 30% of everybody that took the exam passed. But she had faith. She believed in God. And she passed. I'll give you the example of Pastor Yoli. She just shared with me last week. Yoli was sharing with me that there was a big layoff right now in the Middle East. They were apprehensive. In fact, they were asking me to pray before Joseph was sent over back again. The last time Joseph was stuck here was more than a year. Can you remember? This time I said, you cannot be stuck. And we pray. Then last November, Joseph was able to go back to the Middle East to work. Then we just found that in Joseph's company, out of 32 people, 31 people cannot go back. Only one person went back. And that was Joseph. And when he went back, the people say, hey, how come you can come back? The 31 of them couldn't go back. He was the only one that went back. Yoli was sharing also. So don't say God is not with you. Please look at your own life. That Kiara is now studying in the first grading. She got first in the class. At the special science at Ilolo National High School. She was ranked number one. I just want to say that I see this not just upon Joseph, Yoli or Jackie. I see this that people where they are faithful to God. In this church, I see that God is with them. I see a special favor upon many of you people. I am your pastor. I see the special favor upon people in this church. God has chosen and laid help upon many people in this church. So don't complain. Don't be me like complaining to Pastor Susan. Can't you see the blessing of the ongoing faithfulness and the mercy of God in your life? The man God uses is chosen. And when you are chosen, you have the hand of God. God has laid help upon your life. I see your promotion. I see your blessing. Unless you think like my two children, it's by my own ability, my own intelligence. Then you fail to see the ongoing help of God in your life. Number three. The man God uses has sources of strength. This person has sources of strength. Joshua chapter 1 verse 1 says, now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister. Joshua was Moses' minister. Consider with me three sources of Joshua's strength. Three sources of Joshua's strength. A. Faithfulness. First of all, I will ask you to observe here is a faithful man. Verse 1 mentioned that Joshua was Moses' ministers. What is a minister? One who is prepared not to dominate over people, but to serve for Jesus' sake. Faithfulness in very few things always brings you in blessing over many things. There must be faithfulness when one is in bondage. There must be faithfulness when one is in trials. There must be faithfulness when one is in bad times. There must be faithfulness when one is in obscurity. Joshua was faithful when they were in the wilderness. That is 40 years. No, a recent Gallup report was done, survey of the millennium children. This revealed that millennium children generation has a reputation of job hopping. Unattached to organization, institution, people from this generation born between 1980 and 1996, many of you are inside, are said to move freely from company to company, more so than any other generation. Gallup estimates that the millennium children's turnover by job hopping cost the US economy $30 billion every year. Jen, a millennial kid, has already changed job. Joy, if not for the government grant, is also contemplating job switch. She said at least she will stick on for that company for another 3 years. So you mean after 3 years, you're going to job hop? The same applies to church. Applies to church. You think carefully. I stick on to my church, my previous church, for 26 years. Okay? And I did not resign. I was sacked. Pastor Susan said that she has been a full-time staff for already 20 years or more. We stick on. We stick on. I always believe it talks about something about faithfulness. I ask you this question. I always believe that God has called you to a specific church. And I believe that God has called you to Evangel Tabernacle. And you are to thrive and do exploit for the kingdom of God in this church. How are you going to thrive and do exploit when you are always church hopping? You know, Singapore, they are always church hopping. Church hopping. How to do exploit for the kingdom of God? How to thrive? How to? Joshua stayed faithful in the 40 years of unbearable wilderness and served Moses faithfully. That was his source of strength, faithfulness. And God took note of it. I want to tell you something. Stay faithful. Stay faithful. And you will see in the long run, you win. You will see in the long run, God will bless you differently from others. Jesus was faithful and subjected to his parents when he was in obscurity. He was a nobody. Jesus subjected himself to Joseph and Mary for 30 years. And the Bible said he grew in grace and in favor with God and man. Am I correct? How did Jesus grow in grace and in favor with God and man? In his faithfulness. By his faithfulness. We all failed badly in faithfulness. But when Jesus was faithful, even to the cross, and when he was resurrected, he paid for our unfaithfulness. So today, if you say, Pastor, I failed in faithfulness. I failed in faithfulness in relationship with people. I failed in faithfulness in relationship to the church. I failed in faithfulness in my relationship with my parents. I failed in faithfulness even in relationship in my company. I failed in faithfulness. Jesus paid for your unfaithfulness. And more than that, he impart his faithfulness upon you. And Jesus lives today. He's the head of this church. He's able to fill you with his glory and with his power in order that the faithfulness of you may be imparted by God, by the Holy Spirit. You can ask Jesus today to impart to you his faithfulness. His faithfulness. He's able to restore to you the years that the canker worms has eaten. We must not let the past failure keep us from getting on our feet and stepping forward. But to believe that it is God's will for us to move forward. And he can give us his faithfulness. If there are some disheartened people here today, someone who feels that the past has failed him and prevent him from taking up any future responsibility or believing that he has a future, I bid you in Jesus' name, be strong and of good courage. Do not be dismayed. Because God said, I will be with you. Wherever you go, be faithful. If you are unable, ask God to impart his faithfulness upon you. The second source of Joshua's strength was a distinct call. A distinct call. J. Oswald Smith, I respect this man a lot, a lot, a lot. I always read his book, but he passed away already. He was born in November 8, 1889. And he died in January 25, 1986, almost 100 years. He was a Canadian pastor and author, missionary advocate. He founded the People's Church, okay, in Toronto, a very powerful church. Over that course of 80 years, I don't have his strength. He preached more than 12,800 sermons. Smith was born near Odessa, Ontario, in Canada. His early years were troubled by ill health and a delicate constitution. It means a very delicate body. He was once out of school for 2 years after suffering pneumonia. He said it was generally accepted that I hadn't had many more days on this earth. In spite of all this, he survived. He survived the frightening illnesses and he grew into adulthood. On January 28, 1906, during a Tory crusade, he gave his life to Jesus to preach the gospel. And the gospel became the focus of his life. He said this. I know as sure as I am alive. That's a different. I know as sure as I'm alive that I must preach the gospel. There's nothing else in the world for me. There's this distinct call. I ask you something. Do you know as sure as you are alive that you are a child of God? Do you know as sure as you are alive that you are to serve God in the church? That is a distinct call. Do you feel that you have a distinct call to this church? If you can answer yes, then God say, then shall not any man be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Nobody can stand against you all the days of your life. I will be with you. I will not fail you. I will not forsake you. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people you shall divide for inheritance. They are inheritance, they are blessing. God said you shall prosper. God said you shall have success. That was found in just the 9 verses. Okay, 9 verses. You shall prosper, you shall have success. You shall divide for inheritance. They are blessing, they are success. Blessing of children, blessing of house, blessing of people. They are blessing ahead of for your life, which I swore to give to you. This is a second source of Joshua's strength, a distinct call. I remind you that Jesus and Joshua were so sure of their distinct call. Where did Jesus get his strength to go steadfastly to Jerusalem? Where did he receive the power to go up to Calvary's hill to allow himself to be crucified in weakness yet in mighty power? It was the distinct call. He said, I must be about my Father's business. Can you say that you must be about your Father's business? Can you say that your secular life is secondary to your spiritual life? Can you say that? I was in Singapore. I worked for 20 months, right? Dear friendly, I earn a lot. But I know in my heart, I have to come back here. The distinct call is there. Do you feel that you have a distinct call in this church? The third source of Joshua's strength was the indwelling Word of God. He had the indwelling Word of God in his life. Joshua 1:8 says, this book shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make your way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. You see, it's all there. The Word of God will come into the fullness of your life and occupies your heart. The Word of God will just come, especially the Rhema. Those words are specially meant for you. The Word of God will be very clear. When I stepped into the Philippines, the Word of God was very clear. I have called you and chosen you. Look onto the field. Don't say they are yet 4 more months. I say unto you, the harvest is white already, the field is ready white unto harvest. That's what God called me. I remember I was sitting at the commission convention and this word just came and just cry because I just graduated and I have to support my family. When I told my mom I'd come to the Philippines, there was tears in her eyes and there was the sadness in my heart, but I have to go. No, Alan Redpath said this. He said this, Alan Redpath. I'm telling you from personal experience. I believe as I got it from the old book, the Old Testament, or the Bible, that if a man could be effective, he has to go to God in prayer and meditate on the word. If a man would walk with God, if a man would live a holy life, if a man would assume authority and hold it down, he has to pay the price of a closed door. I have no magical formula for your holiness. I have no hocus pocus treatment to offer you. I have no shortcut to spiritual power for any of you. All I can do is to say to you, get back to your Bible. Meditate therein day and night. Go down before God on your face in prayer. For the greatest transaction of a man's experience was not made in the church, but made behind closed door. You know, I know Pastor James Singh since 1986. Actually, he came a few months before Pastor Lily and I. He came in February 1986. We came end of April 1986. We can remember clearly. He also remembered clearly. He was asked to pastor a church in Delgado, and I tell you that Delgado at that time was really bad. It was really bad. And he has to deal with people that are really giving him a lot of trouble. Pastor James did not finish any university. Okay, I'll just be honest. In my earlier contact with him, he always consulted me on certain things and believed that I'm better with the Bible than him, which is not true. He would invite me to speak in his church in his early years, always think that my sermon is good, which is also not true, just because I graduated from the National University of Singapore. Then he decided to go back to Singapore, and he became an evangelist. Pastor Lee and I, we did not see him for 20 years, okay? For 20 years. We lost contact. Then, after we are on our own, we make connection with him again. Because there is a time we can invite anybody we like. We can just invite anybody we want. So we invited him. All of you know that he's truly a prophet. In the beginning, when we invited him and you came to attend his service, many of you sit in the front because you thought he was saved. Just another speaker. But when he started to reveal things in your life, bring you out, acted with authority as a prophet, you became frightened. On the second night, all of you were sitting behind. I want to be honest with you. Okay, I've met many people that call themselves prophet. I tell frankly, I find that Pastor James is the best. Very accurate. Very, very accurate. Until today, the things he said about certain people is still coming to pass. He's still coming to pass. But we all do not know where lies his secret strength. Because I have not seen him for 20 years. He has become another man. Do you know that? Every night, without fail, I think it's around 10 p.m. or 11 p.m. he said he will sit on his rocking chair with the Bible on his hand. And he will meditate and he will read. Sometime more than 1 hour or two, I do not know, okay, because I'm not there. And he has been doing that for 20 years. Every night. And what God would speak, he preached, and preached he did. He will reveal the secrets of our hearts, sins in our life, prophesies over us concerning our future. That lies Pastor James' secret strength. Secret strength. Some of you, now you know where lies your secret strength. Because you had been spending time with God. Jesus said, "The word that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." The word that I speak to you, the word that I speak to you as you open the Bible, they are spirit and they are life. To be saturated with the word of God is to be saturated with the presence of God. And there is no weapon formed against you that can prosper. No tongue raised against you in judgment. You will condemn all these things. We are living in an age we have lost the art of this being silenced with an open Bible. And that is what Pastor James did. The three sources of Joshua's strength. There's this thing called the indwelling of the Word of God. In conclusion, the man God uses is commanded. You don't come here by mistake. Don't always think that you are a mistake, you are just passing by this church. Pastor Lily and me, we were never a mistake to go and attend our church in Singapore, that church. Never a mistake. We learn a lot of things. And you are chosen, and you have sources of strength, faithfulness, this thing called the indwelling of the Word of God. To be very honest, many of us, we fail to be the man God uses. We rejected His command to live a life that we are chosen to do, and are not success in spiritual strength at all. We failed miserably. But Jesus was commanded by God to come to earth. To come to earth, obey, and manifest a distinct call in His life throughout His short earthly life. He was a man fully like us, yet without sin. He received his source of strength by his faithfulness. And frequently he will go up to the mountain to pray. And he had a distinct call. He had a distinct call. I must be about my father's business. He said to his parent, do you not know that I have to be about my father's business? And he was crucified for a failure. When he was resurrected, he imparted his faithfulness to you. Brothers and sisters, ask God to impart, ask Jesus to impart his faithfulness upon you. He will restore you and tell you today, you are the man. You are the man. God said that when I call you, when you become a Christian, when you got saved, I really call you. You are the man that I want to use. You are the woman that I want to use. And he said this, he breathed upon you the Holy Spirit, he empowered you with promises, and he said, I will be with you, I will be with you. And he said, I want you to believe in yourself. Jesus said, with every duty comes the power to perform. That means when I give you the responsibility, you will have the ability to perform. And you will notice that you are able to do so well because there is a hand that is with you, that is laid help upon you. You will notice it. You will feel it. You will feel that this gift that God has given me is not my own. It's given by God. And it's for a purpose. To what? To serve the church. To serve the church. And many people will be blessed as a result of the gift that you have. Yes. There will be many people. There will be... Their life is going to be better because, and they can serve God better because of the gift that is given to you. And he said this, I will not fail you. Men will fail you. I will not fail you. I will not forsake you. Men will forsake you. I will not forsake you. Jesus pledged the power and the help of God. He will be with you, not merely in the sense of you be gifty. What's the meaning? In the sense that God is here everywhere. God can be here everywhere at the same time. God can be here right now in Ilolo City. God can be there in Singapore right now at the same time. Not just like that, but in a sense of interest. He has interest in your life. Jesus has tremendous interest in your life. Not to watch you over your faults and your failures. No! You know, many of us, we think of God... The Mateo is there. Okay, I'm just waiting for you like me. I look at Chichi, waiting for her to make a mistake. Chichi and me got a love-hate relationship. This morning, she likes to go out. And my the other dog has given birth to puppies. And she went out and she go and challenged the big dog. And she looked at the puppies and looked at the big dog. I said, Chi, go inside. No, not to see your fault and your failures, but to prevent your fault and your failures. With this fear that in this work of God, many things might fail. They look failing. They look like a failure. But they are not a failure in the eyes of God. The people's courage may fail. They might withdraw their allegiance to you. Okay, people may not like you. May not like you anymore. But God's come here and say, well, I like you. People don't like you. I like you. I will not fail you. I will not disappoint you in your expectation. I will not withhold any help that you need. I will not fail you when you are weak. I will not forsake you when you are 40. And with duty you have to perform, I will give you the power to execute you. And he said to this, every place that the sole of your feet tread on shall be yours. Shall be yours. Every territory, every blessing that you conquer, you shall have it. You shall have it. You shall have it. I believe that there are greater blessings for many of you in your career. There are greater things that God has in store for your life. I just ask you be faithful. You know the distinct call of God in your life. Yes. And you have the indwelling word of God in your life. Don't say, Pastor, I cannot. I'm so busy. How about Daniel? How about Daniel? How about Joseph? You won't talk about busyness. They are more busy than you. They know how to manage your time properly. Amen. We are entering into the new year. Be the man and the woman of God that God will use. Musician, can you come?
Shall we all stand up? Brothers and sisters, there are something in your life that God wants to do for you. Okay? Your eyes cannot see. Your eyes cannot see. But there's something that God wants you to play. A role that God wants you to play. Not just in this church. Not just in this church. But in your career. For a purpose. For the glory of God. For the propagation of the gospel. And he said to you, as he said to me many years ago, and he's saying to you again, have I not commanded you? Have I not chosen you? Have I not chosen you? Didn't you have that distinct call? What I want you is to be faithful. And to have the indwelling of the word of God. I want you to bring to mind what I told you in the very beginning of your life when you come into connection with me. What was my call? What was my word to you? Bring back to remembrance what I've spoken to you. God said, I still remember it as if it was just yesterday. What I told you during that time. If you say, Pastor, I'm entering into the year 2023, very soon, in 2 weeks' time, God, I heard that command. I know I was chosen, but I failed you in my faithfulness. But I know that I had the distinct call. I was not faithful in my indwelling of the Word of God in my life. But I ask that you impart your faithfulness upon me this morning. I ask, Jesus, you died on the cross of Calvary because of my unfaithfulness, and you have forgiven my unfaithfulness, and right now you are resurrected. You have given me the power and you are imparting your faithfulness upon me. If you are that person and you want to do something for Jesus, I invite you to come to the altar call as a stand that you recognize that God has spoken to you. Okay, as an agreement that God has spoken to you and you are willing to obey, you come to the altar as we sing.
Why have you chosen me out of millions, your child to be? You know all the wrong that I've done.
God is calling you. God is reminding you. God is telling you about your life.
Forgive.
If you want to recall me your life again, come to the altar.
Give Jesus your son. Oh Lord, help me be what you want me to be. Thy word I will strive to obey. My life you want me to be. Your word I will strive to obey. My life that I give to you, I will live and walk by your side all the way.
You know, brothers and sisters, a sermon like this, many times we misinterpret it to be meant only for the pastors,
yes,
for the church planters, for the missionaries, and we exempt ourselves from this call of God. Brothers and sisters, I just want to correct such kind of wrong thinking. The day the Lord save you.
Yes.
He has already caught you. He has already chosen you. He has already set His help upon you. You are the man, you are the woman God wants to use. Where? When? You have to find out. Some of you will be caught full time. Some of you will be caught overseas. Some of you will be caught elsewhere in a secular job to succeed so well that you can bring the resources and the wealth of the world to finance the kingdom cause of Jesus. But many of us in this church, we are caught with the gospel. All of us are caught to share the gospel. It's not a job limited to the pastors or to the DJ cell leaders. All of us, basta you are born again, you have received this call. Or God has given us this command. God has given us this call, the distinct call to share the word of God. We are not called to be inward looking. We are called to serve. To serve the kingdom purpose of God. There are so many different ministries in the kingdom of God. It's a wide ministries. You have to ask the Lord what He wants you to do, where He wants you to serve in this church. It is not by accident that you are here. It's by divine appointment.
Amen.
That God calls you and chose you to come to this church. So brothers and sisters, let us not play the evasive game and always, you know, shirk our duties and just throw it into the lap of the full-time staff or even, you know, those leaders like the DJ cell leaders or the HOD or even those who hold positions in this church. Kita tanan, we are all chosen to serve God. There are millions and billions of people here, and yet out of the millions, God chose you not to wait for yourself to go to heaven, but to be useful, to be fruitful, to be productive in the kingdom business of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I must be about my Father's business. I ask you today, whose business are you about? Are you about your own business? Are you about your own family's business? Are you about other people's business? Or are you today about the King of Kings business? And that is Jesus. Today we need to rededicate ourselves and set ourselves apart. Let God set us apart unto Himself. Holy. We are chosen out of the millions to be the man, to be that woman that God can use. Let's use this song to consecrate ourselves again.
Amen.
And to prepare ourselves to be of greater use to the Lord for this coming new year. Thank you, Lord. Sing it.
Why have you chosen me? Out of millions, your child to be. You know all the wrong that I've done. Oh, how could you pardon me? Forgive my iniquity. To save Jesus, your son. Oh Lord, help me be what you want me to be. Thy word I will strive to obey. My life that I give for you I will leave and walk by your side all the way.
Sing again, chorus.
Oh Lord, help me be what you want me to be. Thy word I will strive to obey. My life that I give for you I will leave and walk by your side all the way.
God is speaking to a man and a lady. There's a man. You are doing well. And God said to you, you are doing well because I've laid help upon you.
It is my desire to bless you. And God said to you that you are to look at me when things are difficult. God said that I have never failed you. Yes, there were trials, but I have never failed you. And God said, I want you to look at your own life. And God said, I have been there all the time. And you have seen the different stages of blessing that have blessed your life. And God said, I want you to be the man that I have chosen. There's another lady. You went through a very difficult hardship, a very difficult pain, the loss of someone. And God said, I've allowed it, and yet I'm with you. God said that I have a plan and a purpose for your life. God said that if you will just be sensitive to my voice and hear what I tell you to do, and you obey what I tell you to do, there will be many more avenues, and you will hear my voices more and more frequently. And God said, if you obey me in what I tell you to do, you will hear more often. And you'll see the power of God demonstrated in your life. And God said that the blessing I've given you, they will not be taken away from you. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. But God said, I want you to serve me. And I want you to be a blessing to others. These are the two people that God has spoken. And if you are those person, I want you to just rededicate and surrender your life to God. Let's sing this song one more time. Then we'll close in prayer.
Lord, help me be what you want me to be. The word I will strive to obey. My life that I give for you, I will live and walk by your side all the way. What you want me to be, your word I will strive to obey. My life that I give for you, I believe and walk by your side all the way.
Father, thank you for your word today. I pray that God, 2023 will be a different year for many of us. Let not the same old happen in our life. Let new things take place in our life. Help us to recognize that we are called. Help us to recognize not only that we are called, but we are specially chosen. Chosen for a purpose. For the furtherance of the kingdom of God. And Father, you will lay great help. You will lay great blessing and you will lay great power when we fulfill what you tell us to do. Help us to be faithful. Help us to remember the distinct call. Help us to stay close to you and let the word of God that you have spoken to us become louder and louder and louder in our spirit. That we cannot do any other things but to fulfill the word that you have spoken to us clearly. Let the indwelling of the word of God have such a powerful change in our life that we are blessing to other people. We thank you for your word. In Jesus' name, we pray. Thank you very much. God bless you. Please be seated. Okay, please take note, okay, next Sunday, okay, take note that we are celebrating our 37th Christmas party, okay. Take note, it will not be in the morning, but you will be in the afternoon. You will be the last service of the year 2022. So I want you to come. Okay, the theme is, oh, what a special night. There will be special presentation by the TKC, by the youth church and the music department. And there will also be a high tea competition from the DJ cell group. Please take note, okay? And I want to encourage you, DJ cell group, please stay behind for a while. Pastor Lily got some briefing for all of you. Thank you very much. God bless you. Have a wonderful week.